that following after Christ will be an easy thing, a thing without sacrifice, a thing without cost, without loss? This is not in any way to say that we're purchasing our salvation, but we do have to realize that holding on to what God calls us to be and do means that we can no longer hold on to what we had before His call. Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This week, Pastor Jim considers the question of sacrifice as he looks at the announcement to Mary of God's choice that she would be the mother of Jesus. So sit back and join us as we consider the sacrifice of Christmas.
Luke 1, beginning in the 26th verse. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled by the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In the sixth month, what is the sixth month that he's talking about here? He's talking about the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, right? It is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. We see that as we go down to verse 36. So in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel comes to the city of Nazareth, and he comes to a virgin. And this is pointed out very clearly, and it's very important. This is something that we need to not brush over. I saw a survey several years ago, and that survey said that over 80% of young people entering seminary believe in the virgin birth. What was that? Oh, but coming out of seminary, only 60-something percent believe in the virgin birth. So in seminary, they get so educated that they no longer believe in the truth that the Scripture has to say. The world can't believe that it was a virgin either. Why? Because virgins don't get pregnant. It's as simple as that. But the Scriptures pointed out more than once, this is of utmost importance. Now, I want you to notice too, God chose Mary. Mary did not put her name in a raffle to be chosen out to be Jesus' mother. Mary had not done some great thing that she was recognized on Channel 13 News to be the mother of Jesus Christ. She became the woman who, as it's put here, is favored because of God's love. He chose her. He chose her. I want you to recognize that. It wasn't something that she had on her agenda. It was a gift of God's love on her. And this gift of God's love on Mary caused her to have to sacrifice greatly. Now, we talked about some of this with Joseph. Verse 27 says, "To the virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.'" I want you to get this picture. Clearly, Mary is alone, right? Mary is alone, and all of a sudden, here comes Gabriel. Now, I do not have a picture of Gabriel, except for in my mind, but the picture I have in my mind of Gabriel is a very powerful angel. The picture I have in my mind is one who speaks forcefully, one who speaks boldly. I remember when we looked at Zechariah and his doubt of his own child, Gabriel didn't hold it back, did he? He went right to him with it. So, out of nowhere, and okay, maybe it's just me, but I figure angels got to have some kind of glow, right? I mean, especially Gabriel, because like he told Zechariah, he stands in the presence of God. What happened when Moses stood in the presence of God? He glowed, didn't he? He had to put on a veil because his face was glowing. So I just, in my mind, I believe there was some sort of a glow to him. But imagine, out of nowhere, Gabriel popping up to you. Mary was frightened. Mary was frightened, and I think she had a right to be frightened, don't you? I mean, even the shepherds in the field had fear when the angels appeared. And he greets her, and he says, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Somehow, we have come to the conclusion in some churches that if the Lord is with us, if we are favored of God, then everything's going to be good. It's going to be good, smooth sailing. Isn't that what they teach? The closer you are to God, the wealthier and healthier you're going to be. Don't they say that the reason you aren't healed of some infirmity is because you don't believe enough? Folks, Mary had a rough road coming, didn't she? She had sacrifice to make. She had to lay it down, and she had to be all in. But here's the thing about God. I can't find anywhere in Scripture where God said to Mary, "Is this okay with you, Mary, if I do this?" Have you seen it in there? It's not there, is it? What God did was sent Gabriel to tell her, "This is what's happening." Now, in a sense, Mary had kind of the same choice that you and I have when God says, "This is what's happening. I am doing this in you." We can go honoring and glorifying Him with all of our strength, or we can go kicking and fighting. And if you don't believe me, there's a guy named Jonah who will tell you what happens when you go doing what God wants you to do, kicking and fighting. It doesn't work out so good. So Mary, we see clear down in the 38th verse of our text. This is such a beautiful, beautiful verse. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Isn't that how we should receive what God gives to us? Now, I want you to know that it is a very rare, rare thing that God calls somebody and there isn't pain and sacrifice that is involved in the call that He has for you. It is a very rare thing. We look at all the Bible heroes. Can you think of any of them who did not have to face some sort of pain? A few nights ago, a week ago, in the evening, we heard about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God called them to be faithful, but there was pain to be had in that faithfulness, wasn't there? Did God protect them? Yes. But remember what they said? Even if He doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your idol. This is how we need to go into anything God calls us to. Imagine this. Jesus, who is God, remember His prayer for those that He left behind? And in that prayer, as he looks towards His return to heaven and the restoring of His glory that He had, it's a sacrifice that He made for us. Now, we all know that He made another sacrifice, didn't He? He sacrificed Himself on the cross for us. When God calls us, and let me go in a little deeper to when God calls us. When God calls us to be His, period. When God calls us to be His, when He calls us to be His children, when He calls us to be saved, when He calls us to be born again, He is calling us to a life of sacrifice and often pain. Otherwise, why would he say for us to pick up our cross daily and follow after him? Verse 29, she says, "But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be that Gabriel has brought. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God.'" Do you understand that if you are a Christian, you have found favor with God? You have. You have found favor with God if you are a Christian. And that favor carries the same weight that the favor that fell on Mary carried. Now, I did not say you have that favor just because you go to church. I do believe with all my heart that if there is a good church that you can get to and you choose not to go, that that reveals a condition of your heart. But you do not have to go to church to be favored of God. And behold, verse 31, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." She trusted God. I would imagine that her first thought was, "Joseph and I plan to have a family." But the angel didn't stop. Gabriel didn't stop with just that she was going to have a son. He said, "And you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end." This is all building. And Mary asked the question. And truly, if you serve God, at some point you've asked this question too. Maybe a little differently. "But how will this be?" she says. Verse 34. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be?" The reason she asked, "How will this be?" she says, is because I am a virgin. There were circumstances that to the natural mind did not allow for this to happen. Have you ever felt called of God to do something that did not use the resources that you thought you had? Have you ever felt called of God to do something that was bigger than you? Something that seemed impossible from who you were? If you haven't, I pray you get to your knees. The scriptures are full of things like that. A young boy, a teenage boy, fights a giant that an entire army is afraid of. And in the strength and the power of the Lord, wins. I have always believed this. As I grew in the scriptures, I have always believed that God does what is bigger than what I can do. And one of the greatest disservices to God that I can do is to doubt him in anything. But he calls all of us to do what is bigger than what we are. How do we do that? We don't. He does. We just go forward. I don't even know how to describe what it would look like if Mary went forward kicking and screaming in this. But how beautiful that she would say, "Let it be unto me according to your word." That's what he calls us to do. "According to your word, Lord, let it be unto me." I think of the Gospel of John, chapter 9. Jesus and the disciples are walking down the street and they see a blind man. And the disciples say, "Well, who sinned, Lord? Was it him or was it his parents that sinned to cause his blindness?" Now we know that this man was somewhere around 30 years old. 30 years of blindness. And Jesus said it wasn't either of their sin. He didn't say the man didn't sin. He just said it wasn't the sin that caused him to be blind. Remember what he said the reason the man was blind was? "So that the works of God may be manifest among you." Or in other words, so that you can see how great God is. This man spent 30 years in darkness. And blindness back then was not the same thing as blindness today. And the reason I say that is, in his blindness, he was taken out and set on a corner to beg. That was the only thing and the only option he had. As opposed to today, we have so many educational things to help someone who is blind to function just as someone with sight does. What are you going through today that you feel is too much, too high a price to pay to serve God? Now, I'm not trying to take away from the price that you're paying in serving God, but I want you to know that that sacrifice and that pain has value, because in that, our pain is usually caused by our weakness. In that, God is seen for what he does. And we could spend the next 40 minutes going over all the different things that Mary faced. I mentioned some of them a week or so ago. But she faced many things. How will this be? Since I am a virgin, I am not in the position to have conceived. I am not in the position to share the gospel. I am not in position to do what you want me to do. And the angel Gabriel tells her what I really want you to hear today. Verse 35, and the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. How will this be? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Folks, if you want to do something for God because he has called you to do it, it is by the Holy Spirit that it will be accomplished. It's not going to be accomplished because of how strong you are. There is great sacrifice when you are chosen of God. I want to read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. You are a chosen race. Is he talking to the Jews? He's talking to those who are Christian. Those who belong to him by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's who he's talking about. That's who are the priest. If you are a Christian, if you are born again, if you are saved, then you are a priest of God, a royal priesthood. And all of us who are truly saved, not all of us who go to church, but all of us who are truly saved are a holy nation because God is holy. And we are a people of his own possession. Why did he choose us to do this? He answers that question. What we're to do? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Or in other words, that you would carry the name of Jesus to everyone. Everyone you meet, everyone you have contact with. The name of Jesus should be your mission in life. So my first point there was that you are chosen to sacrifice. And very quickly, as I move into the next point, is we need, as his chosen, to recognize the opportunity that he puts before us. I came across this saying as I was studying and looking things up. It says, I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do. You ever hear the story of maybe you've heard me say it, of the boy on the beach? The tide had gone out and the beach was just littered with starfish. And so the boy began to pick up the starfish and throw them into the water. And as far as you could see down the beach, it was just lined with these starfish. And one after another, the boy is throwing them into the water. And a man comes up and he asks the boy, well, what are you doing? He said, well, if the starfish do not get back in the water, they will die. And the man said, but there's so many of them. What difference can you make? And he picked up the next starfish and he threw it into the water. And he said, to that one, all the difference in the world. Folks, we need to take advantage of the opportunities that we have to minister, even though sometimes they're painful. Mary took advantage of it. Joseph took advantage of it. I mean, think about Joseph. He was not physically attached yet. It was not his child that Mary was was pregnant with. Even after the dream where the angel Gabriel spoke to him, he could have fled. But instead, he took the hard road and did what was right. In James 1:19, it says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." If we are going to take the opportunities that God gives us to minister, we need to put this in order. We need to listen. And then when we speak, it needs to be of God's word and of God's glory. And we need to be slow to anger. The scriptures give us some direction. For example, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with the power. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That good that Jesus went about doing was things that were beneficial to the people. You hear me? Things that were beneficial to the people that Jesus came along. And everybody that Jesus did something for was thankful, weren't they? Like the 10 lepers. Remember how all of them came back and thanked him and praised him? No, they didn't, did they? One did. One did. The religious leaders, the people who were the keepers of the faith for God. Now, they were sure thankful for Jesus, weren't they? And for all the good deeds that he did. They were so thankful that they got together with the Herodians and all the other groups and plotted to kill him. But Jesus went about doing good. Doing things that were beneficial to the glory of God for the people that he came across. Is that something that you and I can do? Can we go about doing good? What gets in our way? What stops us? Us. I mean, really, isn't that what it is? We stop ourselves. Look at this too. The scriptures tell us in John chapter 1 that Jesus went and found Philip. And it says, Philip, starting in verse 45, found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Have you ever met somebody who is negative? When you're trying to give them something positive, you're excited, you're wanting to honor them, you're wanting to be kind to them, you're wanting to do good and beneficial for them, and they hit you with something negative? Has that ever happened to anybody? Look how Philip handled it. The rest of verse 46. Philip said to him, "Come and see. Come and see." And what happened when Nathanael came? Remember the story? Jesus told him, he said, I saw you when you was underneath the tree. And then it brings us to Nathanael's confession. "My Lord and my God." It is not yours or my responsibility to make somebody a Christian. That's what God does. You and I have a responsibility to bring them, come and see Jesus, to take Jesus to them, to carry the name of Jesus wherever we go. And their response has everything to do with who they are and what God is doing in them. Because here's the fact. If God has not called them with that effectual call, they will not come. So it is God's responsibility to produce the harvest. But you are the workers. And God has given you an assignment. He's given you an assignment to take his name and to carry his name for the rest of Mary's life, her physical life. Do you suppose there was ever a time when she was disassociated with the name of Jesus Christ? For the rest of her life, when someone would meet her, she was Mary, Jesus's mother. Mary, Jesus's mother. Her association to Jesus was permanent. Now, folks, if you belong to him, your association to Jesus is permanent, no matter what response you get from people. As we have been doing these radio programs to this point, we've gotten two pieces of mail, both from the same person, two pieces of mail. So is our choice to say, well, nobody's writing us, so we're done? Or do we say, we're taking the name of Jesus through the radio, and whoever hears it, and God will do what God's going to do with his word. There were times in the life of this church when the remnant that was left in this church thought it was heading to an end. And what we did was stayed faithful to the word, to the doctrine, and to the ministry. And God has blessed. Was it easy? If I said it was easy, there's a few in this room that might throw something at me. But it was right. It was what we needed to do. So once you have seen and received your assignment, your direction from God, by His Word, by His Spirit, you have to give yourself all into it. All into it. It's not easy to give ourselves all into it, is it? And I'll tell you, God has a direction for the church, and you have a place in that, but He also has something for you. There's different ones have different things that He has called them to. And I assure you, if you are only doing what you can do and what fits your strength, you are not serving God all the way. And you are not in all the way. Mary was in all the way. At the foot of the cross, where was Mary? Right there. She was in all the way. Are you in all the way? This is what I would call the Christmas sacrifice. Because that's what Christmas is about. It's about the lamb that was sacrificed. It is about us picking up our cross and following Him. As we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, we need to be all the way in. He has called you to ministry within the body, but also within all parts of your life. What is it? If you are His, go all the way in. As Christmas, part of Christmas is the giving of gifts. Now, we as Christians say, well, we give gifts in honor of the birth of Jesus Christ. That's why we do this. The greatest gift that you can give, both to Christ and to fellow man, is to be all the way in to what God has called you to do. That honors Him, that glorifies Him, it allows His glory to be seen by others, and it brings Him to other people. So again, I say, as we stand, be all the way in. Be all the way in.
What a stunning question. Are you all the way in? Are you living your life for the glory of God, fully in the center of your vision? Or are you instead living with your eyes on the things that you think you need or want? This Christmas, give to the lost in your world the gift of your devotion to Christ. Give to God the gift of your thanks, your love, devotion. The greatest gift we can give this season is to be all in for Jesus. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352, or you can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar with stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. Thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time on Light of the Word Radio. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.